Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Erev in Daf Tesvav. We're holding on the top of Tesvav Amar Aleph. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer in honor of the wedding of his granddaughter Margalit Silver and Matan Goldman. Mazel tov to the parents Leah and Yitzi Silver and Stacy and Amir Goldman, and in appreciation of the Daf Yomi Shir. And it's also sponsored by Moshe and Adina Han and Akar Satov for the continued Daf Yomi Shir throughout these times, as well as Chus for a successful year of learning for their son who's going to Eretz Yisrael. He should have much hatzlacha. It's also sponsored anonymously by the Shir's Detroit listener. He assumes there's only one, okay, by the Shir's Detroit listener, who is still hanging in there, and he should continue to hang in there throughout all of Shas and beyond. Okay, so let us begin on the top of Tesvav Amar Aleph. The Gemara is going to discuss, the entire Amar Aleph is going to discuss the sugya of lechi omed me'elav, mechitza omed me'elav. What if there is a lechi, or there is a mechitza at a certain location, but you didn't put it there for the purposes of being matir, that mavui? Does that count as a lechi? Does that count as a mechitza? So the Gemara is going to bring four rayas that a mechitza omen me'elav is a valid mechitza. We're going to have a machlokas Abaye and Rava about a lechia omen me'elav, and three rayas whether a lechia omen me'elav, who's correct in that machlokas, whether a lechia omen me'elav is a valid lechi. That takes us all the way to the mission on the bottom of Amud Aleph. And the mission on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about using animals as a lechi, or using an animal. Once we talk about using an animal as a lechi, we'll talk about using an animal as a golel for a kever, we'll discuss what that is, or using an animal for the parchment for a get, to write a get on an animal and giving that as the get. So the sugya that follows is going to be about the get. We're going to darshan psukim in this week's parsha about giving a get, so there's a great tafyomi coincidence, and we're going to derive a number of halachos of gittin from the psukim that appear in this week's parsha. Then the mishnah in the middle of Abed Beis is going to talk about rules of mechitzos in order to turn an area into a Rosh Hashiach. It's going to be a bit of a shift, because up until this point, all the Mishnayos have been talking about being Machshir or Mavui. So the Ruach Revi is, you don't really need a real wall, a Lechi, a Kora, all of these different halachos. Now we're just going to talk about, you're in the middle of nowhere, and you want to make mechitzos around you. What can the mechitzos be made from? What do their dimensions have to be? Things of that nature. And the Gemara is going to have a machloka, since one of the halachos that we're going to mention is that if it's parut, meruba ala omed, it's not kosher. If you have more open space than you have wall, then it's not valid for mechitzos. So the Gemara is going to have a machlokas. What if it's parutz ke'omed? What if it's exactly 50-50 wall and open space? And we're going to bring many rayas to that. That's going to go. That sugi is going to take us well into tomorrow's daf. So let's begin. Tezvav Amar Aleph at the top of the page says the Gemara Itmar lechi omed me'elav. You have a lechi that's right where it's supposed to be, but you didn't put it there to make your mavoi usable. It just happened to be there anyway. The Beis Yosef understands Shitas Rashi over here is that you did physically put it there, you just didn't put it there for that purpose. Meaning, even if it was Maisa Adam, it wasn't just something that popped up or that happened on its own. That's how he understands Shitas Rashi. Rabbeinu Chananel says, no, it means, as we're going to see in the Gemara, there happens to be a tree right at the entranceway of the Mavoi. You didn't plant the tree just grew there right at the entranceway of the Mavoi. So that's Omed Me'elav, where you didn't even physically put it there. It just happens to be located in the right spot. So this is a machlokas Abaye and Rava. Abaye Amar Havi Lachi, Rava Amar Lavi Lachi. Abaye says it's a valid Lachi even though you didn't put it there, and Rava says it's not a valid Lachi. If you were not relying on that Lachi from when Shabbos started, from before Shabbos, then everyone would agree that it's not a good Lachi, because if you were not somich on it, if you were not relying on it from before Shabbos, then it can't possibly function as a proper lechi. The machlokas is, you noticed the tree there yesterday, and you said, oh, that's a good lechi, let me just rely on that as a lechi. So Abaye Amar Havi Lechi, Dasamchina Lemeatmol. Abaye says, that's all you need. There's no halachic requirement of physically placing the lechi there. Once you, for l'shem mavoi, once you had in mind that you'll use this, that's good enough. Rav Amar Rava says, no, if it wasn't initially placed there for this purpose, then it's not going to be a valid lechi. So, we are going to discuss lechi amin me'elav, but first the Gemara discusses the assumption that we make from this machlokes, that we're going to assume that the same machlokes is going to apply if it's not a lechi amin me'elav, but a mechitza amin me'elav, that a mechitza just happens to be naturally there, or even if you placed it there but didn't place it there, l'shem mechitza. So the first half of the Amud is going to discuss the imagined machlokes about mechitza. Is a mechitza omin me'elav a valid mechitza? Then we're going to circle back to the discussion of lechi omin me'elav. So because we're working with this assumption that if they argue about a lechi omin me'elav, they must argue about a mechitza omin me'elav, so let's bring rayas whether a mechitza that's there on its own is a valid mechitza. So raya number one, we're going to have four rayas. Raya number one, tashma. We have a Mishnah in Maseches Sukkah. Ha'osa sukkaso bein leilanos leilanos tefanusla ksheira. If a person constructs his sukkah in between trees, and the trees serve as the walls of the sukkah is kosher. Why? Because these are obviously are mechitzas home dos me'aleihem. You didn't plant these trees. These trees were here, and yet you're allowed to utilize those trees as walls of a sukkah. So you see that if it's omin me'elav, it's going to be kosher. Now, it happens to be, if you look in the sugya over there, in Maseches Sukkah, the Gemara says that the case is that there are branches of the trees that need to sort of be woven together in order to make it a proper mechitza. And that's the case. So Tosus raises the question over here, how's this a raya? Tosus and Dibra Maslo Toshama, how does Gemara bring a raya from there to a din mechitza hanas me'alea, that's ksheira, over there? Once you are weaving the branches together, then it's not omin me'alea, you're making it. It's Bidei Adam, you're constructing those walls. So Tosa says that the Gemara could have answered that, but the Gemara gives a different answer. That's the first answer. Tosa says, no, the Mishnah over there is talking about both cases. Whether you weave the branches together in order to make it a kasher mechitza, or whether it happens to have been a kasher mechitza anyway. And since the Mishnah just says it's stam, that if you make a sukkah, bein ilanos, and ilanos tefanosla, that it's kshera, we assume that that is also talking about a case where just naturally the ilanos meet the proper dimensions of a wall, even when you don't have to do anything to it. So answers Gemara, Hachmei Askinan Shenatan Mitchil Lekach. That's not a raya. It could be that you planted those trees because you figure you're looking at your backyard. Where am I going to put my sukkah? It's going to be such a schlep to schlep the walls out. I need trees anyway. So you dafka planted them in such a way that they're going to form the defanos of a sukkah. So says Gemara, Iachi Pshita. If that's the case, then it's obvious that they're valid walls of a sukkah if you planted them for that purpose. So now, mal de tema ligzer dil masi l'shamush shabhilan. I might be choshesh that I might have thought that you're not allowed to use trees that are planted in the ground as walls of an ilan, because we might have to be concerned that you might come to climb the trees, to use the trees, and then you're going to come to be tolesh from the ilan, and that's going to be a violation of the isadarais of kotzer. So kamash milan, that we don't make any such gezera, and you're allowed to use trees as the walls of a sukkah. So that is raya number one. Now raya number two. So raya number one did not work because we had a rejection of the raya that maybe natan mitchila lekach, maybe you planted them for that purpose. So raya number two, tashema. We have a brisa about pase biraos, is something that's already come up in the Masechta, will come up more times. You're traveling in the middle of nowhere. There's a well and you want to rest there for Shabbos, but you want to be able to draw water from the well to feed your animals on Shabbos. The problem is the well is a rishus yachid. The area around it is a karmelis. So Chazal had this special kula that you can make four posts, one amma by one amma, at the four corners, even though there's a huge gap between the posts, and in between those four posts, one amma by one amma, that entire area becomes a rishus yachid. So tashema hayasham ilan ogader ochitza sakanim. What if already in one of the corners there was a tree, or there was a stone fence, or there was reeds that were that form a post? Nidon mishum diyomed. That counts as one of the posts as long as it meets those dimensions of being one amma by one amma. Now apparently, that in that case where it's a tree or it's a stone fence, you didn't put it there l'shem mechitza, and yet nevertheless it still counts as a mechitza. So don't you see that a mechitza omid me'ala is a valid mechitza? Says Marna, hachanami b'mayaskin shasan mitchil l'kach. Maybe that also is talking about a case where someone noticed that there was a well there and figured when people travel here they're going to want to make pase biraos, so they planted a tree to make the job a little easier, so you'll only need Pasi Biros and the other three corners. But they planted it for that reason, or they put the fence there for that reason, or they put the kunim there for that reason. Iach, he says, Gemara, my kamashmalan, then what's the chiddush? Of course, if you put it there for that reason, it's valid. There's no particular material the diomed needs to be made out of, that those posts need to be made out of. No, kamashmalan, chitzas hakanim, kana kana, pachos mishlosh tvachim, kidbaya abai miraba. No, the chiddush is the case where it's a bunch of reeds that are set up less than three tefachim apart from each other, that utilizes lovewood in order to make this post, that works. And that's like Abaye asked the Shaila from Rabbah about a mechitza sakanim that was made in such a way, whether that's considered kediyomed, whether that's a valid post for Pasi Biraos, and Rabbah responded by bringing a raya from this Braisa that yes, it does work. So that's the whole chiddush of the Braisa, that you're allowed to utilize lovewood with the mechitza sakanim to make one of the posts. Nothing to do, the chiddush is not at all about Omid Me'elav. Omid Me'elav is obvious, meaning Omid Me'elav is not the issue over here. It's not a case of Omid Me'elav. It's a case where you made it on purpose for that use. So raya number two doesn't work either. So now the Gemara says, let's move on to raya number three. Tashima, we're going to have a Mishnah much later in the Masechta, Daf Sadites. Ilana Mesach al Aretz. Let's say you have a tree that has these long branches that hover over the ground. They don't just reach up to the sky, they go over and down and create this canopy over the ground. So, im ein gufo gava min ha'aretz shloshot tefachim, ein nofo gava min ha'aretz shloshot tefachim, if the branch reaches so far, it extends so low down that the edge of the branch, the edge of the tree, goes within three tefachim of the ground, metalton tachtav, then you consider the entire area under the tree as if it's totally surrounded by walls, and you're allowed to carry under there, because you're now in a rishul siyachid that's surrounded by walls. If you're surrounded by four mechitzos, that's a rishul siyachid. So don't you see this is nasa me'eleha, it's a mechitza that happened on its own. You didn't put it there, so it happened on its own, and nevertheless, it's a valid mechitza. Again, nah, the case is you planted it this way originally on purpose to make a Rosh Hashayachid. Yeah, if that's the case that it was that you planted it dafka to make the branches in such a way that it will surround the whole area as a Rosh Hashayachid, you should be allowed to carry in the entirety of the area under the tree. Why is it that Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua put a maximum on it, that if it covers an area that's larger than Beis Asayim, then you're not allowed to carry underneath there. You're only going to be allowed to carry within Dalet Amos. After all, if you have a chatzar that you surrounded with a wall in order to live in those walls, you're allowed to be metaltel b'kulo even if it's much larger than Beis Asayim. When do we have a limit of Beis Asayim? That's only when something is not mukaf l'dira. It's mukaf, but not for the sake of dira. But over here, if asom b'tchil l'kach, if you planted this tree so that it could create these walls around this area, that's called hukaf ledira. You should be allowed to carry in the entire thing. So says Gemara, no, mishum davidira shetashmish la'avir. It's not really meant as a dira for the inside of the tree. It's not meant for using the area inside. Even if you planted the tree to create those mechitzos, the only reason you would do that is because you want a nice, pleasant place for the shomer of the sados in the surrounding area to stand. He needs, sometimes the sun is baking down on him, and he needs a shady area to stand in. But he only needs that area because he's there to take care of all the fields that surround it. So it's not that it's hukaf ludira to use that area itself. You're only using that area to protect the areas around it. V'kal dira shetashmish l'avir. Anytime you have a dira that the inside of the area is only there so that you can take care of the area around it, ein metaltlim ba'el beis asayim. You have that beis asayim rule rule where you're not allowed to carry in more than two besas of area underneath. If it's larger than besasayim, you're not allowed to carry more than dalet amos in that area. Okay, so raya number three didn't work either. Now we move on to the fourth and final raya. Again, we're assuming that there's a machlokas habayin and rava about mechitzos amdos me'aleim, a mechitza that you didn't put there in order to be matir the area, and we're trying to bring a raya who's right in that machlokas. So Tashema says, I'll bring another raya. Shavas betel. Let's say Shabbos begins and you're standing on a mound, shu gavoa asara vume'arba amosad beis hasayim. That's 10 tefachim tall and covers an area that's somewhere between 4 amos and beis hasayim. V'chein b'neka shu amuk asara, or you're in a ditch in the ground that's 10 tefachim deep vume'arba amosad beis hasayim, and it's between 4 amos and beis hasayim. So it's a rishus hayachid. It's its own rishus hayachid. Now rishus hayachid doesn't need to be 4 amos. It only needs to be 4 tefachim in order to be Rosh HaSiyachid, but the chiddush over here is going to be when it comes to a Ruvei Tchumin, that your Tchum Shabbos is 2,000 amos outside of that area. Now, wherever you are, you could be in the middle of nowhere, and your Tchum Shabbos is 2,000 amos outside of your Dalet Amos. You're always granted Dalet Amos. That's a minimum, and then 2,000 amos around that is your Tchum Shabbos. So since we're going to be talking about how far you're allowed to go, how far your Tchum Shabbos goes, and we're going to be saying your area is considered that entire Rosh HaSiyachin, and then you get 2,000 amos from there, so it's only a chiddush if it's larger than 4 amos. If it's less than 4 amos, anyway you get 4 amos. So that's why we picked the example of Dalet Amos. Or of a Kamakatsura, you're in a cornfield or something, or a wheat field, and all of the grain is standing, except an area in the middle that's been harvested, so Vishibolos Makivososa. So you have these long standing stalks around the area that you're in. Malich is kula v'chutzula al payimama. You're allowed to walk throughout that entire area that you're surrounded by those mechitzos, and then you get 2,000 amos outside of that area. But don't you see, these are mechitzos ha'omdos me'aleihem. These are mechitzos that are there on their own. Grain just happened to grow in that field, and then part of it was harvested, or the tel, the mound, happens to be there. The neka in the ground happens to be there. So you see that mechitzos ha'omdos me'aleihem do form a mechitza. V'chitei machanami sh'asam mitchil l'kach. Maybe you'll tell me, no, over here it's also sh'asam mitchil l'kach, that you made it originally for that purpose. Well, Bishlam Akamalechi, that could work in a field of standing grain. Why is it that they only harvested this square out in the middle of the field? It must be that they were trying to create a space that's surrounded by walls. So that would make sense. Elatel Veneka Maikal Meimar. But just these natural things and the natural topology of the land, that you're going to have some parts that are a tel, that are a mound or a neka in the ground, that doesn't sound like something that's man-made. That sounds like something that was omen me'elav. So you see that a mechitza omen me'elav is a valid mechitza. So isn't that a raya, therefore, if we're going to assume that the machlok zabai and rava applies to a mechitza omen me'elav as well, and not just a lechi omen me'elav, and that rava holds lo havi mechitza, isn't this therefore a raya against rava? So says Gemara, no, our entire premise of our discussion was incorrect. El b'mechitzos kuli almalo pligi tahavya mechitza. When it comes to a mechitza, everyone agrees it is a valid mechitza. A mechitza omen me'elav, both abai and rava agree, is a valid mechitza. Ki pligi b'lechi. The whole machlok is his own. Only by a lechi omin me'elav. Abaye l'tamei damar lechi mishum mechitza mechitza asui me'elav havia mechitza. Abaye holds that a lechi functions as a mechitza, and therefore, since we all agree that a mechitza omin me'elav is a valid mechitza, a lechi omin me'elav is valid as well. And v'rava l'tamei and rava's lishi taso damar lechi mishum hacker, that a lechi is not there as a mechitza, it's there as a hacker. So yavida biadayim havia hacker v'ilo lo havia hacker. So if it's made, if you make it for that purpose, then it's a valid hacker. But if it just happens to be something natural that pops up in that area, then it's not going to be a valid hacker. A mechitza for sure is going to work, but a lechi is where we have a machlokas. Now those are the only two cases the Gemara discusses about omen me'elav, is a mechitza and a lechi. We're about to get into the discussion about a lechi. The Gemara does not discuss what about a pas arba. Right, you have a board that's 4 tvachim that you're mamid within 3 tvachim of the wall, and that itself will make the mechitza. So the Beis Meir writes in a letter to Rabbi Akiva Eiger that even though you were not so mikhel of me'etmol, a pas arba works. It has a din of a mechitza. And what about a tzuras ha-pesach though? What about meaning we spoke about a lechi, but what about the wire that goes over the lechi? What if that wire is omen me'elav? Why would you ever have such a case of a wire that's omen me'elav? They didn't. Whoever puts wires across and poles all the time, telephone wires. Most of our Erevin rely on these wires that go across. So there are all sorts of shailas when it comes to telephone wires and their use as an Erev, right? There's the shaila of sagging. How much of a sag do we allow in a Tzuras HaPesach? When if you look at an Erev that's made with fishing line, like they normally make it, it's taut, right? It's done in a way where it's not going to sag. But telephone wires typically sag. So that's a shaila. How much of a sag would we allow in a Tzuras HaPesach? You have where it goes at an angle or something, it goes down a hill or something, whether that would be a valid Tzuras HaPesach. You have all sorts of discussions about wires, but what about just the fact that they weren't put there for that purpose? They weren't put there as a Tzuras HaPesach. So the Bir Halachi discusses this in Siman Shin Samach Gimel. He quotes a Prima Gadim who's Mesupik about it. In the Tshuvas Beis Ephraim, he says, Yesh Lachkor Bezeh, whether a Tzuras HaPesach has a din of a lechi, and it's only kosher if you're so mechalav me'etmal. And he says that the Prima Gadim was Mesupik about it, but he says, Ladina, it appears that a Tzuras HaPesach is kosher even if you're not so mechalav me'etmal, because it's a mechitza mamish. It's not like a lechi, which is just a hecker. This is a mechitza mamish. And he says, sounds that way from Stima Saposkin, V'chein HaMedvar. That's what the practice is. And that's what the Yeshuas Yaakov writes as well. And the Chachma Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Kluger, and the Chaznish says, Tzuras HaPesach is kosher, V'kalinyin, even if you're not Samech Alav, Miba'od Yom. However, in the Mishkanos Yaakov, in the Tshuvan Simon Kuf Yud Beis, he's mechadish that by Tzuras HaPesach, there is a particular din that it needs to be made L'shem Pesach or L'shem Mechitza. So as long as you're not somich alav me'etmol, it's going to be puzzle, and he brings a raya from a gemara in Menachos. Because where else do we have a din of Tzuras HaPesach? So as we've already seen, you have a din of Tzuras HaPesach when it comes to Hilchos Mezuzah as well. So what if you have an area, that a structure that's built exactly like a Tzuras HaPesach, but it wasn't made l'shem Pesach. It was made for something else. So the Gemara Menachos discusses this explicitly. Let's say you have poles, but they're just meant to hold the tikra, to hold the roof. Otherwise, the roof would cave in. They're for they're structure. They're for structure. They're not to create a sense of Tzuras HaPesach. So in such a case, it's not called the Tzuras HaPesach, and it's not going to be chayiv in mezuzah. That's a shaila that you have very often. A person has a porch in front of their home, so the porch has a roof over it, and there are a lot of posts all along the porch. So they need those posts, but do they need all of them? Are all of those posts necessary? So when do we say that that's it's just a design to make a proper Tzuras HaPesach, and when do we say that it's l'chizuk ha-tikra, that it's only there to support the tikra? In Camp Kaylee, we had by the Beis Medrash that they built, there's a porch, and the whole thing is posts all around it. It would have cost the camp. I remember we asked Rav Willig, it would have been like 20 mezuzahs all around the whole area. So he was makel in that case. He thought that we didn't need to put mezuzahs on each and every post. But sometimes it's obvious, meaning they clearly make a Tzuras HaPesach and the rest is fenced in and is not meant as a Tzuras HaPesach. It's just meant as support beams. Okay, but anyway, so says the Mishnah Yaakov, you see from that halacha that if it's not made l'shem Tzuras HaPesach, that it in fact doesn't count as a Tzuras HaPesach. So maybe the same would apply to the telephone. Phone wires. Okay, so now the Gemara says, let's discuss the original topic that we were meant to discuss, and that is Lechia Omin Me'elav. Now that we discussed Mechitza Omin Me'elav, and we came to the clear conclusion that a Mechitza Omin Me'elav is absolutely a valid Mechitza, let's start bringing the Rayas about a Lechia Omin Me'elav. So Tashema, Raya number one. Avne Geder Ayotzis Min HaGeder. Let's say you have a wall that the end of the wall isn't smooth. There are pieces of stone that protrude out from the wall. Muvdal Zumizu, Pachos Mishlosha, and those those pieces of stone that protrude from the wall are less than 3 tefachim apart from each other, which means you could apply a din of lavud. So ein tzarich lechi acher. Those pieces of stone themselves will be the lechi. You don't need an additional lechi. Shlosha tzarich lechi acher. But if they're more than 3 tefachim apart from each other, you can't apply lavud, and therefore you're going to need an additional lechi. But the point is, apparently these protruding stones were not made for the sake of a lechi, and yet we're still willing to rely on them. So don't you see, lechi omin me'elav is a valid lechi. No, who says that it's omin me'elav? Maybe we're talking about a case where you built it that way on purpose. If you built it that way on purpose, then of course it's a valid lechi. So says Gemara, no, mal detema, that lemeisa binyana hu davida, that it's made in such a way that you did it on purpose, but it looks like you just did it to make it easier to expand the binyan at some point. Sometimes people build things in such a way where they're able to, where they keep future expansion in mind. So maybe that way you might think, when someone's looking at that wall, that it's not a lechi, that they built it that way so that it'll be easier to expand in the future. So come ashvelon. And that's why the Brisa tells us that since you made it l'shem lechi, it's going to be kosher as a lechi, and we're not concerned of what people are going to think, that it's to expand the binyan. So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's try another raya about a lechi omin meilav. D'tani Rebbe Chiya taught in a Brisa, koso shetzidu echad konus mechavero bein shenir mibuchutz v'shav mibufnim bein shenir mibufnim v'shav mibuchutz nido mishum lechi. Let's say you have a wall that tapers, a wall that's wide at a certain area, and then it narrows as it goes. So there are two sides of the wall. So it could be you're on the side that it just goes straight, and you don't see how it narrows because it's narrowing on the other side. Or if you stand on the other side of the wall, you see clearly how the wall was wider and then it narrows. So whichever side the inside of the mavoi is on, whether it's the side that you can see that it's narrowing or the side where you don't see it narrowing, it works. Nido mishum lechi. It counts as a lechi. So we're not here to discuss this idea of nir mibuchutz v'shav mibufnim. We already had a discussion about that. We already had a machlokes about that. But the point is, the assumption is over here that that's just the construction of the wall. You aren't thinking lechi when you made the wall a certain width at one point and then narrowed it out, tapered it out as the wall continued. It wasn't made l'shem lechi, and yet it still counts as a lechi. So says Gemara, hachanami shasam itchil lekach. Who says you didn't do that on purpose? Maybe you did that in order to use it as a lechi. And then what's the great chiddush that it counts as a lechi? Of course it does. What do you mean? It's a chiddush just to tell me that if it's not recognizable as a lechi from the inside, that it still counts as a lechi. You would think you would need to see the lechi from the inside in order to be matir carrying. So Tashima, the Gemara says, okay, we'll try a third and final raya, and this is going to be the raya that stands. The story was that Rav was sitting in a certain mavoi, have a yasav Ravuna kamei, and Ravuna was sitting in front of him. Samele l'shamei, Rav said to his shamish, zilaiti li kuzet demaya. Go bring me, if you wouldn't mind, bring me a jug of water. Ada asa nafalechia. While the shamish was going to bring the water, the lechi fell down. So there in the mavoi did not have a lechi at its entranceway right now. Sachle biyade. So Rav made a simon with his hands to his shamish to tell him, oh, the Erev is down. The Erev is down. You're not allowed to carry her anymore. So come aduchte. The shamish stood in place. Samle Rav Huna said to Rav, Lo savor lamar, lismo chadikla. Don't you hold that you could be somech on the dekel? Meaning there's a tree on the that's also there. Can't that count as the lechi? Why not? Why do you have to worry about the fact that the lechi that was placed, the shame lechi, fell down? There's another natural lechi there. Samar dami haimir rabbanan. So Rav said, wow, this Talmud of mine, Rav Huna, is like Kamandlo Parshi and Shishmaitza. It looks like he was never explained these sugyas properly. Did we rely on that tree from before Shabbos? Certainly not. We had an actual lechi that we put in place to rely on before Shabbos. So you can't be matir mavui based on a natural lechi that we were not relying on me'etmol. Okay, but you see that even Rav agrees, time of delo samchinan, that the whole reason you can't rely on the tree is because you aren't so mechal of me'etmol. Hasamchinan, have a lechi. But if you are so mechal of me'etmol, then it is a valid lechi. So you see from Rav that the halach is like Abaye, that a lechi omin me'etmol Elav, as long as you were Somech Elav Me Erev Shabbos, is a valid Lechi, and it's going to be kosher. So that's the Raya, that it's going to be kosher. So says Gemara, Lema Abayev Rava, B'dalo Samchino Leplegi. How do you know that that's a Raya? Maybe we could say that the Machlokes Abayev and Rava is talking about a case where you were not Somech on it, Me Etmol. But Hasamchino Le, if you are Somech Elav Me Etmol, have a Lechi. Maybe everyone agrees that it's a valid Lechi. How do you know that the Machlokes Abayev and Rava is actually about a case where they are Somech Elav Me Etmol? So Lo Salka Daitach. No, you can't say that the Machlokes is when they were not Somech Elav Me Etmol. Da'u Barka, because there was a story that happened with a porch, Davabe Bar Chavu, that had a post that was supporting the porch, that Davu Pligi Ba Abayev Rava Kuli Shinayu. And throughout their lives, Abayev and Rava argued whether the post that supports that porch can count as a lechi for the mavoi that it borders. Why did they argue about it their whole lives? As soon as the second Shabbos came and they knew that there was Somech Elav Me Etmol, it should automatically work. Elamai, even if you're Somech Elav Me Etmol, that's where you have machlokas Abayev and Rava when you're Somech Elav Me Etmol. So how do we pass in this case? So it seems like you have machlokas Abayev and Rava. The Gemara's third and final raya is that it does work, that Lechi Yomin Me'elav is Nidon Mishum Lechi, and the Gemara has no rejection of that Raya. So that's Shitas Abaye. We brought a Raya to Abaye against Rava, and we have no rejection of it. And that's why Rashi, in many places in Shas, Rashi writes that when we say that the Halacha follows Abaye, Bi Yal Kigam, this is the Lamed of Yal Kigam, of Lechi Yomin Me'elav. The Yud is Yeh Shalomidas, the Ayin is Eid Zomeim L'mafreyu Nifsal or Mikanu L'abo. If so, the lamid is lechi yomin me'elav, and then the kuf is kiddushin shalonim sru labia, the gimel is giloy das beget, and the mem is mumar ochel nevelos. Two of them appear in Sanhedrin daf chav zayin, and the rest of them are dispersed throughout Shas. However, Tosvos on daf heimed beis and in Maseches Kiddushin write in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that the lamid is not about lechi; it's about some other machlokas. That over here we were paskin like Rava. We would not paskin like Abaye, even though the Gemara seems to reject Rava at the end. Now we mentioned this Maisa over here. We mentioned this story where the Shamish came in carrying water. He had no idea that the lechi had fallen down, and Rav felt that he had to inform him immediately that the lechi had fallen down. That's somewhat of a chiddush, that he had to inform him, even though he had no idea what he was doing. There is a discussion that when a person is misasek, there's something called the doing an avera b'mezid. You know it's an avera, you know you're not allowed to do it, you know exactly what you're doing, so that you get an onesh. Then there's doing an avera b'shogeg, where, for example, you didn't realize that it was Shabbos, but you knew that you were doing a malacha. Or you didn't even realize what you were doing was a malacha, even though you knew that it was Shabbos, but you knew what you were doing, you just didn't know that it's also to cook, so you started barbecuing on Shabbos, so that's bishogeg, then you're chayv to bring a karban, but then there's misasek, you didn't even realize what you were doing, you had no idea that you were doing something significant, so that's how you didn't know it was Shabbos, you didn't know that there's a malacha, you knew nothing, so when a person is misasek, is that considered a maisa avera at all, or is that not a maisa avera at all? So there's a tshuvas from Kiva Eger where he was asked about someone who does a maisa isra and he doesn't even know that he's doing it at all. He's misasik. Do you have to stop him from doing it? So Kiva Eger writes that which were memait misasik from the pasuk asher chatabat, so Gemara Sugi Misachus Krisus, is only that we don't say that the misasik is not a maisa avera. It's just it's a patur mikarban. It says that it's lower than a shogeg, but it's still a maisa avera. And if it's a maisa avera, then chayev lo dio. Then you have to let him know that the person is doing the avera, so that he'll stop doing it. The Chavos Das quotes this in the Makor Chayim, and he asks on the poskim that say that someone who has chametz bebeso and he doesn't know about it, that he violates an avera b'shogeg. So the Chavos Das says, what do you mean? He's a misasik. He doesn't even know that he has the chametz. So he's mechalik between an avera that has a maisa and an avera that doesn't have a maisa. Rabbi Kiva Eger writes, though, that according to what he's saying, it's not a kasha at all. A misasik is also an avera. It's just not. It's just lower than a shogeg, but it's also a maisa avera. So if a person sees in the Arts Achayim, the Malbim, he discusses, what if you see someone else wearing pasul tzitzis on Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah? So he's violating carrying the strings, Dalet Amos Rosh Hashanah. So, but he has no idea. It's totally misasik. So he says, maybe you don't have to let him know that he's violating this. But Lechor, according to Rabbi Kiveger, yes, you do have to let him know. So the Kashuk Lover Gon in the Chuvas Eretz Tzvi discusses maybe our Gemara, Zariah over here. The fellow walks in, he thinks that there's a lechi, he has no idea that he's doing anything wrong, he doesn't even realize that he's carrying in an area that's not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and apparently Rav felt the need to let him know. So maybe that's a raya to Rabbi Kiveger. Okay, weiter now, says the Mishnah, Rav Meir Oser, that you're allowed to make a lechi even with a living animal. Rav Meir says you're not allowed to make a lechi out of a bal chai. And also, Metam Rishim Golel, a bal chai could be Metam Rishim Golel, either the covering of the coffin or the marker of the grave that has the tumah to it. Rabbi Meir Metai, Rabbi Meir says, no, bal chai is not going to be Metam Rishim Golel. The Kosul of Gitei Nashim, you're allowed to write a get on Balei Chayim. Rabbi Yosei Glili Postel, Rabbi Yosei Glili says, you're not allowed to write a get on a bal chai. The Mishnah Maseches Gittin says, you write a get on a Keren Shel Para and you give her the para. The Gemara discusses, you cannot, definitely cannot write a get on the Keren Shel Para, then cut off the Keren Shel Para and give her the Keren, because it has to be the Kasa V'Nasan. It has to be that directly after the Ksiva you can already do the Nasina, but it's not Mechusar Maisa Acher like a Ktsitsa. But bottom line is, whether you can actually write a get on a living creature is a Machlokas Tanayim in our Mishnah. So we're going to focus on that part. Tanya, Remei Romer, Kol Dom Shishbu Rechai, Meinos Nosa Lo Dovel Nesuka, V'lo Lechi L'mavoy, V'lo Pasen L'biros, L'o Golo L'kever, Mishom Rebbe Yosei Glili Omer, Af Ein Kosum Lov Gitei Nashim. A lot of things you're not allowed to do with an animal, a live animal. It can't be a wall for a sukkah, it can't be a lechi for your mavoy, it can't be Pasi B'Rose, it can't be a covering for the kever. Rabbi Yosei Glili says, you can't even write a get on it. So my time is Rabbi Yosei Glili, why can't you write a get on a living animal? Titanya, because the Brisa Darshins, the psukim in this week's parsha, in this coming week's parsha, where the pasuk says, V'kasav la sefer krisus, so we darshin, sefer, ein li ala sefer. I would only know that you can write a get on cloth. Minayin, the rabbis called Davarada, I know you're allowed to write a get on anything. Tamalomar, V'kasav la mikal makam. It speaks very generically, V'kasav la, so it sounds like it could be about anything. V'imkein, ma tamalomar sefer, so why does it get so specific and say sefer? Lomar l'cha, ma sefer, davashen bo ruachayim veino ochel, avkal davashen bo ruachayim veino ochel. It at least can't be a living creature, and it can't be food either. V'rabbanan, the rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yossi Aglili in our Mishnah, and say that you are allowed to write a get on a living creature. Why does it identify sefer? Well, miksiv ba sefer? Sefer ksiv, it says without a base. L'sviris dvarim bi'almu udasa. That's telling us another halacha, that the content of the get should mention what is happening over here. That this man is being megarish this woman, telling her she can go and she's free to marry other people. So it's sviris dvarim, it tells you the story of the get. V'rabbanan, the rabbanan, since they explain sefer to teach me that you could write on that they don't use sefer teach me that it's got to be on klaf. Hi v'kasavla my darshibe. What do they do with v'kasavla? How do they darsh in those words? Why does it have to write v'kasav, which it sounds like you could write in anything? It could have just said v'nasan la sefer krisus. So we buy lakes v'ksiv miskareshes v'kesef. No, I need v'kasav to tell me that the only way to get divorced is with a shtar. See, the first mission kiddushin tells us you want to marry a woman, kesef, shtar, and bia. They all work for kiddushin. So how do I know that they all three don't work for gerushin? So salgadai dechamino hol v'iskis yitzia la'avaya. Since the pasuk says v'yatza mibeisa v'holcha v'haisa li'ish acher, so we have a hekesh between v'yatza when you're megarish and v'haisa when you marry. So ma havaya b'kesef af yitzia b'kesef. So I might think just like kiddushin can be done with kesef, gerushin can also be done with kesef. So kamash mlan. That's why he has to tell me no, that by get it's only v'kasavla. It can only be b'ksiva. Rabbi Yosei Glili Aisvar Minale. Rabbi Yosei Glili already used v'kasavla. How's he going to know that you cannot be megarish with kesef? So nafkalemi sefer krisus. He learns it from the phrase sefer krisus, which teaches me sefer korsa vein dover akra korsa. Only a sefer will be koris. Nothing else will work. V'rabbanan hai sefer krisus mi bayle le dover akoris bein alevena. And the rabbanan will use the phrase sefer krisus to tell me that when the get is given, it has to be a complete severance between the husband and the wife. There can't be anything that still binds them together. L'kidetanya, for example, what we have in the following braisa. Hareza A guy, he knows that his wife is an alcoholic and he's trying to protect her. She wants a divorce. So he figures he's going to do something nice to her. He'll give her a get and he'll say, this is almanas that you never drink wine for the rest of your life. So he figures that way she'll refrain from wine. But the rest of her life, as soon as she drinks wine, they're married again. So there's always this idea hovering over them that they might be married. Or almanas shall take the base of Ikhli Olam. Or that you never go to your father's house. So she might go at some point. Ein zekrisus. That's not kores. But kol shloshim yom erez a krisus. But if you put a time limit to it, you say for the next 30 days, then it is a valid krisus because you know that at that time, then they're going to be divorced with finality. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, how does he know that halacha that it needs to be kares beino levena? So nafkle mikares krisus. He learns it from kares krisus. It could have said kares, but it says krisus as if it's plural. For Rabbanan kares krisus lo darshi. And the Rabbanan don't darshan two separate drashos from Kari's Krisos. Now says the Mishnah, now we're moving away from Mavoi, and we're just going to talk about Mechitzos in general. So you have a group of people that are traveling in a Midbar, and they stop in an open area, V'kifua Klei Behemos. So they take all the Kalim that are on their Behemos, that they use for their Behemos, and they make a wall that surrounds them out of those Kalim. So Metalta L'Tocha, good, so now they made a Rosh HaSiach that they could carry in there. Ubavachi, get the Gavah, Asar Tvachim, as long as it's a Gedda that's 10 Tvachim tall. And as long as it's more built than it is parutz, that it's omid meruba la parutz. Kol pirtza shika eser amos muteres. Any pirtza that's 10 amos or less is perfectly fine. That counts as a pesach. Mebrei shika pesach. Yes or mikan aser. If it's more than 10 amos, then it's going to be aser. So says mar itmar parutz ki omid. Our Mishnah says that if you have parutz meruba al omid, if there's more parutz than binyan, it's a problem. What if it's exactly 50-50? Parutz ki omid. Rav Papa amr mutar, Rav Unabrei Rav Shua amr aser. Machlokas amrayim. What's the svara? So Rav Papa amr mutar, that he understands that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu the din of Mechitzos, Halacha Moshe Misinai, he said you can't have Meruba that's Parutz. Sounds like anything that's not Rov Parutz is going to be good enough, even if it's 50-50. Rav Huna Brei Rav Shua Amar Aser, that the way the Ribbono Shel Olam told it to Moshe Rabbeinu is not that you can't have parutz meruba, but that you must have gadar ruba, that most of it is fenced in, and then therefore if it's 50-50, that's not good enough, that's not considered gadar ruba. The Rishon Rabbah, why would you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu al tifrutz ruba? Why not just say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe gadar palga, that you should be gadar half of it? So there must have been some tradition that part of the halacha of Moshe Misinai was something about rov. So then they just had to take it from different angles. Is it rov parutz or rov binyan? That's the issue. That's how the Ran writes. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with all the rayas in this sugya, whether when it's 50-50, what the halachic status is. Have a good day, everybody.